Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex on this Wednesday, November 27th, 2013, the busiest travel day of the year. And if you're traveling in the car, or perhaps even if you're at the airport, we hope that you'll tune in and listen because we've got a busy day today on our schedule. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to be joined, hopefully, by Dr. Noel Sharkey. Now, he is a robotics expert. He's an artificial intelligence expert. He's very concerned about killer robots and the direction the technology is taking robotics and the lack of ethical control, the dangers of autonomous killing robots. So we hope that he's going to be with us at the bottom of the hour. We've been trying to get him for a couple of weeks, and he's been traveling first throughout North America. Now he's traveling throughout Europe. We contacted him a few days ago. He said that he would be in Italy today, in Pisa. I guess he's looking at the Leaning Tower. And he said he'd be staying at a monastery, and he hoped that he had Wi-Fi. So we hope that he does, too. And if he does, we'll be talking to him. But we've got some robotics issues. Nevertheless, we have the lead story today. It has actually been picked up by Drudge on InfoWars. Drones with face detection cameras obey visual and vocal commands. This is pretty amazing. A huge breakthrough technology-wise, and it shows the direction that things are taking here. This says that the project was presented during the annual IEEE RS International Conference on Robotics and Systems. Now, that's the Institute for Electrical and Electronics Engineers in Japan, and they said that they use a facial scoring system. Each drone's camera determines which direction a user is focused towards. So what they can do, and we're going to show this video in the next segment. This is a very short segment. But what these drones can do is they can give them hand signals. They can tell them to take off. They can tell them, I want you two or you three to do such and such a thing, and they obey those commands. They use vision-mediated gestural interface, so it's just hand signals. They can understand these commands. They can group them together. They can turn them off. It's pretty amazing what they can do with this. Now, of course, what we're concerned about is seeing this kind of power focused in the hands of simply the government. When I was watching this protest in Dallas last week unfold, and I'm looking, even before it happened, I'm looking at the arrogance of the police officers who would not even make eye contact, let alone respond to any questions, any legitimate questions that people had, like, where should I go? Who can I talk to about this? They would just stare straight ahead, would not give any answers. And it was really kind of, you could see a real contempt. And this video up here, if you're looking at it now, that heavyset guy, you could see real hatred in this guy going around sucker punching people, this big, heavy guy. When I looked at that, and afterwards, as they were lined up and the camera panned down that line, I saw just hatred and contempt on the faces of these people. And I'm thinking, do we want to give them a monopoly on the use of force? Are they the only people in society who should have weapons? That's a very serious thing. We do not want to have a few, perhaps criminal people, have such a monopoly on force. And that's what the robotics thing is heading towards. Very few people who can kill from a distance. We see that already happening with drones. We see them working more and more towards refining and increasing this. And technology is moving at a very rapid pace. This article finishes up. This is from Michael Thalen on InfoWars. He says, as technology extends its lightning growth towards autonomous robotics, world-famous thinkers have begun to take notice, prompting the likes of physicist Stephen Hawking to warn of its dangerous and uncontrolled march as technology grows exponentially. Exactly. And that's exactly what Dr. Noel Sharkey is doing. He's traveling around the world trying to wake up people to the dangers of this and trying to get people to stop. But I think the key thing is not going to be the analysis from the government, trying to get the government to stop, trying to get the UN to impose something. The key thing is going to be getting engineers and scientists to take an ethical look at how what they're producing is going to be used. We're also going to be joined in the third hour with Gerald Salenti, and we're going to talk about rising trends in China. So join us and come back. We're also going to be talking about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, another piece of Asia that's coming up in the trends. Stay tuned.
In the last 50 years, iodine has been phased out of our staple foods and replaced with the halogen bromine, a practice now banned in nations around the world. Guess what else is in the halogen family? Fluoride. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here. In 1924, the federal government did the right thing and encouraged salt producers to add iodine. It's the good halogen on the periodic table. And the results are on record, reports documented. A 15-point IQ increase in areas that had previously been deficient in iodine. Bottom line, iodine is important. Unbound, clean, in a glycerin base, nascent iodine was the answer for myself and my family. You will find Survival Shield Nascent Iodine exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWars Life Survival Shield Nascent Iodine isn't just for emergencies. I take it every day. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
TheUltimateKnife.com presents the Fox Karambit Knife. This amazing knife is built for utility and defense purposes. Based on 6th century Indonesian design, the Fox Karambit Knife utilizes a patented Emerson waved feature that allows for true one-handed operation. Less than 3 inches in length, it deploys faster than a switchblade, yet has no springs. Italian-made craftsmanship is finally available here in the U.S. Knives of this caliber can cost up to twice as much and could take up to a year to order, but we have them available right now. And as legislation in the U.S. continues to add pressure to take away our rights to bear arms, you need a backup defense tool that's even faster than a handgun. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price. Call 888-541-4446. That's 888-541-4446. The Fox Karambit Knife, truly the best knife you'll ever own. Available only at TheUltimateKnife.com. Again, that's TheUltimateKnife.com.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927. 866-229-0927. Or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Terrorists. and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city.
Global governance at last. Is it one world? The central bank is in charge. But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
As for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex on this Wednesday, November 27th, the day before Thanksgiving 2013, the busiest travel day of the year. And as I was saying in the last segment, we have a busy schedule today. We've got Dr. Noel Sharkey at the bottom of this hour, hopefully. He's traveling. He's in Pisa, Italy, and he's staying in a monastery. He thinks he's got Wi-Fi, but we're not sure at this point. We haven't heard from him, but he'll be talking about the advance in technology. We've also got in the third hour Dr. Gerald Celente. Dr. Gerald Celente. He is a doctor, actually. He's a doctor of information. Trends Journal. He has a lot of information, enough information that he should have a PhD, even though he doesn't. He'll be talking to us about the recent developments with Iran and the White House. We're also going to be talking about what's going on with China. China's making a lot of moves, building a deep water navy, asserting their territory over a lot of areas in the Asian Pacific. And the U.S. is pushing back. What's going to happen with this? Is this a build-up to war? What's going to go on with that? As well as looking at the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the implications that that has in terms of completely rearranging our economy and attacking many of our fundamental rights. So we're going to be talking to Gerald Celente in the third hour. We're also going to be joined by Leanne McAdoo in the second hour. But I want to go back to this article that we're just talking about in the first segment. This is on the Drudge Report, at least it was this morning. Drones with face detection cameras obey visual and vocal commands. Now, this is a situation where they got multiple drones. They can look at the human, and they can determine which they communicate handshake amongst themselves to see which one the human is looking at the most. So it's kind of like, I've got it, guys. He's looking at me. And then he can communicate with voice as well as with hand commands. Let's take a look at that video here. I'll kind of describe it. It's pretty much visual, but for our listeners, I'll describe what's going on with this. So this guy's got three drones in front of him. He's kneeling. He's giving him voice commands. They're activating, coming off the ground. Oh, he just told the first. He just told the center one to come up and go off the ground. The other two stayed down.
You too.
Okay. All right, so female. Couldn't tell. He's got his back to us. Her back to us. Well, it's something you really need to see. The link is up on the article. It's at InfoWars. Link from the Drudge Report. And this is something that illustrates, let's pull that off, guys. That's something that illustrates just how quickly technology is advancing. So many of these things, people that we've been talking about for a while, we've been giving you the documents, we've been giving you the plans that we've seen. And people say, oh, I don't believe that, even when we linked to the documents. I mean, even when we linked to the documents of the billions of bullets being bought by Homeland Security, mainstream media called us wild-eyed conspiracy theorists for a year. Until some of the sites like Breitbart started linking to it. Then we had Republican congressmen get in on this. But even after that, in an effort to attack Alex Jones, National Review threw Republican congressmen under the bus in an effort to attack Alex Jones on the billion bullet ammunition purchases from DHS, even though they're very well documented. They just claimed it was a conspiracy theory. And that was a year and a half after we had talked about it. We had linked to the purchase requests on FedBizOp. We had put that in the original articles. They could look at the information if they wanted to, but it was a deliberate smear against Alex. And we've seen that happening just this last week. We've seen Jeremy Scahill attacking Alex as a conspiracy theorist, as a liar, without addressing anything that he had an issue with. Simply a personal attack. Well, as Alex pointed out, we're talking about this. He said Sherlock Holmes was a conspiracy theorist. Columbo was a conspiracy theorist. If you're going to look at the information that the government is coming out with and not be skeptical, you're not a journalist. You're not a detective. You're not doing your job. Every investigation is a conspiracy theory. You put a bunch of conspiracy theories. You look at the people who have the motive, the opportunity. and the ability to do this. And then you also start to look at, of those people who are doing this, if one of those people has the motive, the ability, even a past history of doing this type of stuff, if that suspect in a murder was caught lying to you, was caught destroying evidence, was caught hiding evidence, don't you think you would be interested in that? That's exactly what happened with the JFK conspiracy. The CIA came up with a weaponized term of conspiracy theorist, and they've been using it ever since to dismiss anybody who's skeptical. But there's something else going on about this. Now, Jeremy Scahill, when he was on, what was the program that he was on? It was C-SPAN. And he was talking about Alex Jones, this caller who called in, and that's when he really dumped on Alex. We know what's going on with Jeremy Scahill, though. There is a billionaire, Pierre Ahmadyar, I think is the way you pronounce his name. He's the he's one of the eBay billionaires. And he's creating a new journalism venture. He's going to have Glenn Greenwald, who I have a lot of respect for. And he's also going to have Jeremy Scahill. He's one of those two, or two of the three biggest names in this venture. And there's an interesting article from Not Safe for Work Corp. NSFW Corps. What they did was they analyzed this new venture, and they pointed out that the Columbia Journalism Review, which, by the way, gets a lot of money from this eBay billionaire, was just gushing over his new project. They said that it's an adversarial muckraker plus a civic-minded billionaire. A civic-minded billionaire. As they point out, billionaires don't tend to use the kind of authority-questioning journalism that upsets the status quo. Billionaires tend to have a finger in every pie. Powerful friends that they don't want annoyed. Business interests that they don't want looked at. Is he different from all these other billionaires? I remember when this first came out, I remember seeing even NPR was just gushing over this new venture. And that seems to be what's happening with all the journalists, because if they say enough nice things about this billionaire, perhaps he'll hire them to work in his new news venture. As a matter of fact, he's got billions of dollars, right? And all of the journalism outfits, especially the print journalism outfits, are starving for money, starving for funding. So everybody's kind of hanging by a thread. And then this billionaire comes in, and everyone in journalism is falling at his feet and praising him. And this is the point that they make here. What all these orgasmic accounts of his idealism have in common is a total absence of any skepticism. That's right, skepticism. Isn't that what journalism is about? Isn't that what science is about? Isn't it about questioning what people put out there, investigating it, holding up their assertions, their bald assertions, to see if there really is any evidence, to see if they're really lying, to test what they're saying? But if you do that, you're called a conspiracy theorist if you exhibit any skepticism. So there's this herd mentality. And if you say the right things, you get patted on the head, you get a gold award. Maybe you get hired by a billionaire to work in a news organization. That's not the way we do it here. You know, it made me really angry when we went down, Jakari and I, to the Austin airport to talk to the public information officer for the TSA. And they didn't want to talk to us. They put us off. They wouldn't answer our emails. They wouldn't answer our phone calls. So we went down there to talk to them in person. Well, the public information officer wasn't in on that weekday, so they sent us around on a wild goose chase, and finally we got somebody who was down a couple levels from the top person at the information office for the Austin airport, and he was absolutely incensed that we would show up and ask to speak to a public information officer, the same kind of contempt that we saw in Dallas from these sheriff's deputies and other officials when they were being asked simple questions. This guy didn't want to tell us. He would tell us that they were not going to do these security pods. That's what we were asking about. What are the plans of the Austin airport? Are they going to have security pods? Well, no, there's no plans for that. But he would not say that on camera. Why? Because maybe he was just telling us what we wanted to hear. Who knows? He didn't want to go on record. So they don't want to. They understand now that people can go back and they can look at YouTube and say, well, you know, 6 months ago, you guys said you had no plans to put these security pods in. Now you got them in. What's going on with this? They don't want to be caught in a lie. They don't want to say anything that's going to get them in trouble with their masters. Oh, just like the journalists. They don't want to say anything that's going to get them in trouble with their masters either, do they? They don't want to say anything.
In the last 50 years, iodine has been phased out of our staple foods and replaced with the halogen bromine, a practice now banned in nations around the world. Guess what else is in the halogen family? Fluoride. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here. In 1924, the federal government did the right thing and encouraged salt producers to add iodine. It's the good halogen on the periodic table. And the results are on record, reports documented. A 15-point IQ increase in areas that had previously been deficient in iodine. Bottom line, iodine is important. Unbound, clean, in a glycerin base, nascent iodine was the answer for myself and my family. You will find Survival Shield Nascent Iodine exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWars Life Survival Shield Nascent Iodine isn't just for emergencies. I take it every day. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
You better watch out, you sure better cry. Your lease gonna pout, and I'm telling you why. Privacy is leaving your town.
Is your cell phone being used to build a profile on you? Give the gift of privacy and block unwanted cell phone spying with the Privacy Case from PrivacyCase.com.
They're making their list, they're checking them twice. They're gonna make up who's been naughty all night.
The problem is real, and so is the solution. Go to PrivacyCase.com because
they see you when you're sleeping. They listen when you're awake. They can tell us all you've been bad when you've been good. So get yourself a Privacy Case.
Now through December 31st, buy yourself an American-made privacy case and give one for only $79.95 each. Go to PrivacyCase.com today. The Privacy Case, because there is a case for privacy.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We've got it done. The Newsman is coming to you. All right, you are gold.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Now, a lot of you are traveling, and I want to take a look at this new app called FlyRights 2.0. Now, there was a press release put out by Congresswoman Judy Chu from California. Now, I don't know everything about this application, but I was kind of concerned about the way she sold it. Now, certainly, we do want to have privacy. We do want to know when the government is abusing its let's say, I want these, even say privileges. They don't have privileges to inspect us, to put their hands down our pants. We want to know when they're abusing the Constitution. We want to know when they've escaped the limits that the Constitution has put on them. But this is what she says in her press release. She wants this application enables travelers to report airport profiling and screening discrimination directly to the TSA. So I don't know if this is something that the TSA created, but this is what she says. Airport safety measures based on someone's race, gender, or faith are not safety measures at all. And then she points out how the Sikh community, because they wear turbans, was being inappropriately singled out. You know, this is really sad because this approach really ignores the fact that the TSA is destroying the freedom and dignity of everybody. And they take this, and again, they always want to spin this into some kind of a racial thing, some kind of a tribalism thing, and that's exactly what they're trying to do here. Let's talk about respecting everybody's freedom and dignity. Let's talk about turning off those machines that x-ray you. There are health issues with that. Let's talk about them not sticking their hands down the pants of children. Remember, the first Thanksgiving, after they put in the naked body scanners and said, well, you're either going to go through the naked body scanners or we're going to pat you down and we're going to touch your genitals or children. They do it to everybody. So you had an option, right? A great option. Otherwise, you didn't travel on an airplane. Well, you remember that first Thanksgiving after they put these machines in? A lot of people organized an opt-out campaign. A lot of people were very angry about it that first year. And that's a couple of years ago. It was 2010, so 3 years ago. Look at how things have changed. Look at how people have been pacified. And remember what they did that Thanksgiving? A lot of people were going to opt out. There was a lot of buzz in the social networks about that. So the TSA just simply turned off the machines and stopped the pat-downs on the busiest travel day of the year, 3 years ago. They knew there was no threat. As a matter of fact, it was just a few months later, in mid-2011, that the TSA put out that they knew that there was no terrorist threat against airports or airplanes. This is their internal document. This was mistakenly leaked by the federal government itself when they published excerpts from an unredacted lawsuit that was filed. So there was a file put out by John Corbett, a lawsuit that was filed by John Corbett, and he was allowed to look at TSA internal documents. He summarized some of those documents. He quoted some of those documents. And they tried to put up the redacted version of that on pacer.gov. They made a mistake and they put up the unredacted version so we can see exactly what they didn't want us to see. And one of the things they did not want us to see was that they said in mid-2011 that the TSA, that Homeland Security, believed that there was no terrorist threat against airports or airplanes, just, and this is their words, propagandizing, recruiting, and fundraising. Exactly what the TSA does. Propagandizes, recruits, and fundraising. And at the same time this was happening in 2011, mid-2011, the same time they wrote this in their internal memo that there was no threat against airports or airplanes, no credible threat by terrorists, they were also threatening to shut down all air traffic in Texas. Why? Because the Texas legislature, the House, had just passed a bill that would stop this groping, especially against children. And it looked like it was going to pass in the Senate. So they came in with Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, who has long ties to the CIA, and they basically shut that down. And one of the things that they did was to say, we're going to shut down all air traffic control in and out of Texas if you don't do this. They knew there was no threat. They knew there was no threat from terrorists against airplanes or airports at the time they were doing that, according to their own internal memos. I can't stress this enough. And yet, they were threatening to shut down all traffic. So that's what the TSA is about. It's not about singling out individuals of Sikhs or race or gender or faith. They're spinning that now to try to turn us into a kind of tribalism. It's about destroying your freedom and dignity. B.F. Skinner understood that was the key, your freedom and dignity. Now, we're going to be right back in the next segment. We're going to have Dr. Noel Sharkey, and he's going to be talking to us about the dangers of killer robots and the way that technology is rapidly advancing. He's going to be joining us live from Europe, so stay tuned.
We on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
In the last 50 years, iodine has been phased out of our staple foods and replaced with the halogen bromine, a practice now banned in nations around the world. Guess what else is in the halogen family? Fluoride. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here. In 1924, the federal government did the right thing and encouraged salt producers to add iodine. It's the good halogen on the periodic table. And the results are on record, reports documented. A 15-point IQ increase in areas that had previously been deficient in iodine. Bottom line, iodine is important. Unbound, clean, in a glycerin base, nascent iodine was the answer for myself and my family. You will find Survival Shield nascent iodine exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWars Life Survival Shield nascent iodine isn't just for emergencies. I take it every day. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight, filling in for Alex. We're going to be joined in just a minute by Dr. Noel Sharkey. He's going to talk to us about his campaign to stop killer robots, tell you why you should be concerned about this rapid advance in technology and how it could be potentially abused into a very destructive weapon. But before we do, I want to talk to you a little bit about Thanksgiving, about the original Thanksgiving. Remember the pilgrims when they came to this country? They thought they were going to Virginia. They thought they were going to kind of a warm climate. I don't know how prepared they were to be farmers. They were really coming from an urban environment. But they certainly weren't expecting the harsh winter that they got when they landed in Massachusetts. That kind of unexpected circumstance is something that could hit your family, could hit you. You never know when the infrastructure is going to be taken down. We have a very fragile infrastructure. It's highly interconnected, very complicated. And the more interconnected and complicated that infrastructure is, the easier it is for something to malfunction at some point. You can find yourself on your own. But beyond that, just for your family's health, just for your independence, you might even enjoy growing your own food. And there's no better way to do that than with heirloom seeds. You want to start out with good seeds. You don't want to start out with some kind of GMO thing from Monsanto. If you're going to take the time to learn, and now's the time to do it, when there's not a crisis, to learn how to grow your own food. Save yourself money by growing healthier food yourself. You can get seeds from the InfoWars Seed Center. That's at InfoWarsStore.com. The InfoWars Seed Center has the widest selection of non-GMO, non-hybrid heirloom seeds available. We've partnered with the finest heirloom seed companies like My Patriot Supply, Emergency Seed Bank, Heirloom Organics, and others. So check it out. We've got a wide variety of seeds there at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what helps to fund our organization is the products that we sell. We pick products that we believe in, that we think are going to help the quality and the longevity of your life. So look that up at InfoWarsStore.com, the InfoWars Seed Center. Now, we're joined right now with Dr. Noel Sharkey. We were concerned that we might not be able to get him. He is traveling the globe trying to wake people up to the dangers and the abuses of robotics technology. He's actually a professor of artificial intelligence and robotics, and he has now, after he had kind of an epiphany, we're going to let him tell you about it. I won't try to describe it. His core research interest is now in the ethical applications of robotics and artificial intelligence. Dr. Sharkey, can you hear me?
I can hear you very clearly, David. Hello.
Great, great. So you found Wi-Fi in that monastery?
Yes, I did.
That's great. That's great. Tell us a little bit about your epiphany. When you went from, you were working in robotics, you were very much interested in the technology of it, but like so many of us who work in engineering or technology, you didn't realize exactly some of the dark ways it was being used.
No, I didn't. I had my head in a bag kind of thing, just getting on with my research. Mm-hmm. And I was at a press conference in London about a government report on talking about robots, worrying about housing benefits for robots of the future. It was kind of a nutty report, and it was the first report our government had put out about robotics. And at the press conference, some journalist said to me, well, can you tell us a little bit about military robots? And, of course, I knew nothing about it, apart from a little bit about bomb disposal, because I'm from Northern Ireland, and we know about bomb disposal.
Yeah.
Right. So I thought I'd go off for the evening and just have a quick look at the internet, you know, an hour or so, so that I could answer questions. 7 months later, I finished that little look at the internet, having read, you know, through all the U.S. plans from 2001 right up to the present at the time, which was 5 years, 6 years of plans for all the U.S. forces, the roadmaps. And they were all talking about the application of autonomous robots. And yes, for killing people, and I just thought, this is ridiculous, the way they were talking about it. It was like science fiction. They didn't seem to have an idea about the limitations. And so I wrote an article for the Guardian newspaper in the UK then, 2007. And it started there, and it's been a whirlwind since.
I find it very alarming because I look at, every week we see some kind of new robotic technology. They're spinning it in the media as saying that these are the Pentagon's rescue robots. I don't think that DARPA's really funding rescue operations. I don't think the Pentagon's really funding that. If anybody thinks that, after looking at the way they're using drones to assassinate people all over the world, they need to have their head examined. That's some of the most obvious propaganda I've ever seen. The media should be ashamed of itself for putting out these killer robots, these potential, these robotic projects that are being put out by the Defense Advanced Research Projects, DARPA. DARPA has a research budget that is higher than they've got for the entire budget of North Korea. We're supposed to be concerned about North Korea, yet North Korea's entire economy is about the same size as the DARPA research budget. And DARPA is constantly, this seems to be their primary focus.
Well, DARPA aren't accountable, so their thing, mm-hmm, and it's a good research agenda. Their agenda is you just keep funding everything that seems slightly crazy. And yeah, as long as one of them comes up and is, you know, comes up trumps, then you're okay. But I was laughing there because one of the reports I read from DARPA about these humanoid robots that are going to, they're going to carry wrenches, and they talk about them going ahead of the forces. Well, why would you have a pile of humanoid robots going ahead of the forces with wrenches? Are they going to undo people's water pipes?
You're fix the broken tanks. Yeah, here's the headline. This 6 foot, 330-pound robot may one day save your life. That's talking about the Atlas robot. And the troubling thing is that when the Atlas robot came out, I looked at it. I thought it was very frightening the way that this thing is able to move around. And the fact that it has these two long arms that essentially look like cylinders, where I could imagine them being guns of some sort. And Ray Kurzweil comes out and says, that's great. Now all he needs is a brain so he can act autonomously.
Oh, God, yeah, that's bad. Yeah. I think you're right, though. I can see it. The cylinders are going to become machine guns. I would say it's no doubt about that at all. Maybe not for a while, but that would be the general plan, I would think.
Yes.
I mean, why would DARPA be spending money on rescuing people when they've been in the business of rescue ever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we have these articles that are coming out. Now, this is about a year ago. This is from Wired's Danger Room. It says, the Pentagon doesn't trust its own robots. They say that there's a cloud of distrust and misunderstanding hovering over robots that the Pentagon already has. So they're looking at this, and they're evaluating this, and they don't really like it. So we've got to conduct a media campaign to change the public's mind, to change the military's mind. You're pushing back in the opposite direction. But we understand that the military-industrial complex wants this very badly. They see this as a brand-new profit center. I'm very, very concerned about the lack of accountability that is going to happen with these killer robots. Can you address that?
Yes, I mean, you're right about the profit. I mean, just in terms of the drones, which we know about already, I mean, Israel made $4.8 billion in the last 5 years profit on those. And the competition is so stiff. So the idea is that you've got all the drones, how do you compete in that big market? And the way you compete is, let's add autonomy to it. Let's make them work on their own, and then we can make a lot more money. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to preemptively ban them. That means ban them before they get out and before there's too much investment. Because once billions of dollars have been spent on it, it's going to be very difficult.
Very
difficult. And we're making very good headway at the UN, actually.
Well, that's good. I'm glad that you're going around and you're addressing the press, you're addressing governments, you're pointing out to them where this could head. I see this. You know, when we're talking about nuclear war, if some government presses the button and launches a bunch of nuclear weapons on someone, there's going to be literally hell to pay for that. There's going to be accountability for that. But if they take a bunch of killer robots, as we've already seen with drones, we've seen how they can go in with drones, they can destroy a village, and there's no accountability. Nobody is held responsible for that. And it'll even be easier for them once these robots have self-autonomy. They can basically say that they've got plausible deniability. They can say, well, the software went wrong on it, or it was a hardware bug. It wasn't me. It wasn't the president. It wasn't the general. It wasn't the lieutenant. It was just this crazy technology, so we'll fix it. Meanwhile, they've killed a lot of people, and I can see them using this domestically as well as abroad. So if you think that this is something, historically governments have killed more of their own people than they've killed in other countries. It's called democide. So if you think this is something that is simply going to be used against these people on the other side of the world that you don't like, you need to wake up about that as well.
I think you really do. And the thing is that what the United States and the high-tech nations like the UK, they have a problem understanding that this stuff will proliferate and everyone will have it. And then where are we going to be? And that's my biggest worry, is this idea that we'll keep ahead of the technology, we'll be the ones who will use it, without thinking at all that everybody else is going to have it and they will all interact together, and then it's going to be a real mess.
We've already seen countries like Iran setting up their own drones. They're not that technologically advanced. It didn't take them that long to get drones. It's not going to take them long to get robots. This is something, and what we're concerned about here, I have to say, Dr. Sharkey, we have a little bit different situation in the U.S. is unique in the sense that now we have this massive program of bringing home weapons that have been used in Iraq and putting them in police departments here in America. And we're already concerned about the fact that humans themselves are not being held accountable for their actions when they fire on a child with a toy gun. What's going to happen when a robot does that? Do you think there's going to be accountability for that?
Do you really think the United States police will start? I mean, they certainly talk about arming robots with tasers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That would be the start for it. But tasers are kind of deadly. I mean, 150 people died in the U.S. within a period of 2 years from taser abuse. So if you start arming robots with tasers, then I think it's only a short step to arming them with weapons, really. With lethal weapons.
And they're very horrible non-lethal weapons. Very horrible ones. It's not just taser. They have all kinds of things that they can beam at you to make you sick, to blind you, that sort of thing. You talked about how they kill people. We've got a teenager right here just south of Austin that was tasered by a cop in a school who was standing around a fight and didn't get out of the way in time. The cop tasered him, fell down and cracked his head. He's now in a coma. They believe he may die. That happens all the time with tasers. So when you talk about non-lethal force, you talk about shooting people with rubber bullets, you talk about using these gases on people, that's not something that we're looking forward to seeing happen in terms of crowd control. That can be very, very oppressive.
Yes, but you don't have to worry too much because we're going to stop it.
Good. So tell us about your campaign. Tell us, you're going around and you're talking to different governments. I guess you're having public speeches where you're trying to inform the public. How is your press coverage?
Well, press coverage has been very good, but we had a breakthrough recently at the United Nations. There's a committee at the United Nations called the CCW, and that's the place where poisonous gases got banned, biological weapons got banned, chemical weapons. So that's the place for prohibiting new weapons. And we spoke to the French have just taken up the presidency, and we spoke to the French ambassador, then we spoke to the US delegation, and they've agreed with this that they would put this forward as a mandate for discussion in the UN. And last Friday 2 weeks ago, they had 117 nations from the CCW met, and one of those nations could veto it. Russia were there, China were there. There was a massive discussion, and they accepted the mandate. So next year, the CCW committee are setting up an expert workshop to take this on board and discuss it.
Well, that's great. And your campaign is stopkillerrobots.org. They can learn about that on the internet. www.stopkillerrobots.org. It's a campaign to stop killer robots. Now, you've taken this to the UN. You've taken it to other countries. I'm a little bit more skeptical of the UN and these other countries. Hopefully, they will ban this, and hopefully these other countries won't secretly develop this on their own, worried that they're going to have some kind of a robot gap or something like that, like they've had weapons defensively do it because they're afraid the other guy might do it. My big concern, and I think your campaign will be very effective at this as well, and that is to address the engineers and the scientists to try to get them to understand, because that, I believe, is where we really need to go. As long as there's an engineer or a scientist who will develop this kind of stuff for pay, who doesn't look at the ethics of their work, you're going to find some kind of a politician or a dictator somewhere who will do it, who will use those people, who will pay them large amounts of money, and who will break any treaty that comes up, won't you?
Well, the problem is it's mainly the U.S. because they're a bit more cautious in Europe. In the U.S., it's very difficult to not get funded by the military.
Yes.
Most of the robotics labs are run by the military, are funded by the military. And their people aren't necessarily making weapons and things, but when you're funded by the military, it stops you speaking up.
Yes.
It stops you speaking up against it. I mean, there's hope. I mean, there's a professional magazine in the U.S. called The Engineer, and they ran a poll of the readership asking how many people would go for a complete ban or how many people would just go for trying to make the weapons more perfect over time. Only 3% of the readership said they would make the weapons go more perfect over time, and 73% said there should be a total ban. So we're beginning to see a consciousness of it.
That's very hopeful, because so many times we'll talk to directly, Alex will talk to soldiers and policemen over the radio and say, understand that the kind of society that you allow to happen, if you allow and are part of this kind of abuse that we see happening in the streets, that's going to be the society that you live. That could be your family that is brought under that. And historically, we've seen that always does happen. It can't be contained and only limited to people who don't work for the government. We need to have that kind of awareness with engineers. And as you pointed out, it's very difficult in America to get a job if you're an engineer that doesn't involve the military industrial complex. I know when I got out, it took me a while to find a job where I wasn't working for the military. That was my degree initially. So I understand that, and it's good that people will privately say that, and I think I really applaud you for what you're doing, because getting the information out there, people don't even believe that this could happen in so many cases. They don't believe that the technology is there. They think it's just the science fiction fantasy of the Terminator. And we've been criticized for that here, that we're talking about some wild thing. Talk about the absolute, talk about how the technology is approaching rapidly.
Well, we've had 44 nations at the UN now speak up with concern, so people better believe me now. It's not science fiction anymore when you have major countries like the U.S., Germany, Pakistan even, you know, all speaking up against killer robots or about them. So it's definitely on course to happen. There's no question of that unless we stop it. But you have to be very worried in the U.S. as well about your privacy. I mean, you've got the NSA, yes. NSA there really doing a lot of nasty things, surveying people. But you're starting to get a lot of drones, and once the drones become autonomous, not even armed, they can be everywhere. They're getting very small. And what worries me is not the current government you have, but these are legacy systems. So what does the next government do with them? What does the next government do with them? Because they just inherit them directly. And if you ever wanted to create an authoritarian regime, you're going to have the right tools to do it. And that is a great concern to me as well. Military stuff.
You hit the nail on the head. What we are building in the United States right now is a perfect infrastructure for tyranny. And whether our current leadership uses it, or it's the next or second administration down, that's what we're concerned about. We're going to continue this discussion with Dr. Sharkey, and we're going to talk to him about what the current state of the art is.
In the last 50 years, iodine has been phased out of our staple foods and replaced with the halogen bromine, a practice now banned in nations around the world. Guess what else is in the halogen family? Fluoride. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here. In 1924, the federal government did the right thing and encouraged salt producers to add iodine. It's the good halogen on the periodic table. And the results are on record, reports documented. A 15-point IQ increase in areas that had previously been deficient in iodine. Bottom line, iodine is important. Unbound, clean, in a glycerin base, nascent iodine was the answer for myself and my family. You will find Survival Shield nascent iodine exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWars Life Survival Shield nascent iodine isn't just for emergencies. I take it every day. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your life.
Welcome back. back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm David Knight filling in for Alex, and I have on the phone with us Dr. Noel Sharkey. He is a professor of artificial intelligence and robotics, and his focus now is on the ethical application of those technologies. We have him just for one more segment, only about 4 minutes. And Dr. Sharkey, what I would like for you to talk about in this segment is the state of the art in robotics. People don't understand how imminent this problem is, how rapidly it's coming upon us. Could you address that?
Yes, certainly. Well, we've got lots of armed robots on the ground in the air, as you know, that are remote controlled. But what's happening now is a very rapid development of platforms that will carry the weapons. The more we talk in the campaign about banning these weapon systems, the more we're driving them underground, it seems. There's less talk about it now. But for instance, in the United States, you've got three devices I'd like to mention to you. Mm-hmm. One is called the X-47B. And that can land on there. It's a fighter jet, a combat unmanned combat aircraft, fast subsonic, just beneath the speed of sound. It can land on an aircraft carrier. It can take off from an aircraft carrier. And it's going to be used in the Pacific. It's got 10 times the range of one of your F-35 fighter jets. So that's really productive for them. And it's just been tested 2 weeks ago in very windy conditions. And that's working very well. That will be weaponized and used. So it's like a super drone, but you don't need people involved at all in controlling it.
Wow.
You've also got a prototype system called the Crusher, and that's developed by Carnegie Mellon and DARPA again, of course.
Of course they
and
are.
The Crusher is a 7.5-ton truck, and you can see it on, if anybody wants to go on YouTube and just do Crusher CMU, they will find it, and they'll see it crushing Cadillacs, and it's got a big gun up there on top of it. Now, the other device that you're making in the United States is on the HTV-2 program, again, DARPA, and they've got an aircraft called the Falcon, and the idea is to be able to get an unmanned combat aircraft anywhere on the planet within a one-hour window. So this thing has been tested at 13,000 miles an hour. So that's just the United States. In the UK, we have the Taranis, which is actually supersonic, so that's even faster. That's an intercontinental unmanned combat aircraft, fully autonomous, means that there's no human controlling it, and that's been tested in Australia just in the last couple of months. So these are progressing very quickly. The Chinese have the invisible sword, that's the Anjin, and that's being designed and built for air-to-air combat. Again, no human controlling it. The Russians have the SCAT. The Israelis are using one called the Guardian. And at the beginning when they developed it, they talked a lot about it being fully autonomous to do routes and to fire on people at the borders between Palestine and Israel. But now I spoke to an Israeli colleague the other day who was very excited because I had an early picture of it with guns on it, and now they can't find any pictures of them with guns. So I'm afraid we're driving these people underground a bit, but they're still doing it.
Well, you know, we can understand very quickly the implications of something like the Crusher that's going to crush vehicles domestically. But even when it comes to these supersonic jet transports that are taking off from aircraft carriers that are unmanned aerial vehicles that are remotely controlled, that has a lot of danger in the sense that that's going to make our already aggressive government starting wars everywhere for very little justification and without congressional authorization. That's going to make them even more likely to get involved in these wars. And there's this thing called blowback. You know, once you start a war somewhere else, it will come home to you one way or the other eventually. It may be asymmetric warfare. It may be terrorism with people coming to your country and blowing people up in shopping malls, which will then be used to send out the Crusher robots. But thank you so much, Professor Sharkey, for joining us. We're out of time. Good luck on your campaign. Keep trying to educate people about these dangers. It's a very important thing you're doing.
Thank you for having me on, spreading the word for us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That's StopKillerRobots.com. We're going to be right back after the break with Leanne McAdoo, so stay tuned.
Nine.
the last 50 years, iodine has been phased out of our staple foods and replaced with the halogen bromine, a practice now banned in nations around the world. Guess what else is in the halogen family? Fluoride. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Jones here. In 1924, the federal government did the right thing and encouraged salt producers to add iodine. It's the good halogen on the periodic table. And the results are on record, reports documented. A 15-point IQ increase in areas that had previously been deficient in iodine. Bottom line, iodine is important. Unbound, clean, in a glycerin base, nascent iodine was the answer for myself and my family. You will find Survival Shield nascent iodine exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com. InfoWars Life Survival Shield nascent iodine isn't just for emergencies. I take it every day. That's InfoWarsLife.com or call toll free 888-253-3139.